Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Cam.
I'm Jordan.
And we're going to pass this off to Cam because he brought the beer.
Well, howdy, y'all.
Yeah!
A couple months ago, I had to go to Texas for work. Not the most ideal of times to go to Texas.
With COVID peaking in Texas at
ongoing
the time.
Pandemic.
Yes.
These unprecedented times. Visited a couple breweries there, and then before I flew out, I hit a bottle shop, grabbed a kind of mixed pack of stuff I hadn't even tried yet, and then I've got one beer that we'll finish on from the best brewery I visited, which was really cool, like farm brewery, and we'll talk more about that when we get into it, but we'll start with the Salty Lady. Made in Texas by Texans.
By Texans.
Made in Texas by Texans at Martin House Brewing Company.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, Texas.
A tart and refreshing goza.
Awesome. So let me set the scene here for, clearly, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it. But Cam has his Buc-ee's shirt on from the Buc-ee's gas station chain in Texas.
World's largest gas station.
Yeah. They don't just sell gas.
They sell everything. I got all the souvenirs.
Literally everything.
I got all the souvenirs I brought back for my family from Buc-ee's. So.
Did you bring a plushie?
Oh, yeah. I got stuffies for the kids.
It's a fun logo.
They each have one. And then,
it's a big beaver.
Yeah, I got this t-shirt for myself. I got a t-shirt for my wife.
Oh,
and then
funny.
All sorts of snacks that I threw into my bag. I nailed it on the bag on the way home, by the way.
The weight?
Oh, 49.8 pounds.
Perfect.
Nice.
You had 0.2 pounds left.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You could have fit something
in there. That's an extra beer, bro.
Another 16-ounce package of something.
Smells like it goes.
It's, I was
it
just gonna say.
It smells a little like a sour.
They hit that part.
Yeah, that effervescent, clear.
It's got a nice aroma. It's pretty mild though.
Woo. Yeah.
Unfiltered, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's tart. It's got the side of my tongue. Woo.
Yeah.
A little one-dimensional and not a lot going on in there.
Yeah, I mean it's. It is a base goza.
Yeah, it's not, you know, a goza that has this, and this added.
Yeah.
I do like that it has that bit of funk at the end, though, like a true goza would. It's not just a kettle sour with salt.
Yeah, it's a little fruity.
Yeah.
It's got this nice tart bite that almost wants to remind you, like, going towards vinegar, but not quite.
Slightly on the palate of the tongue, yeah, I can get that. Not taste-wise, though.
Definitely a nice, like, citrusy tartness, right?
Ooh. It's not as salty as I would have thought, though.
No, I'm not really getting much salt.
For the salt, what do they call it? The salty lady?
The salty lady, yeah.
I guess they don't like
salt
in Texas there.
Well, it's easy to overdo the salt, too, so
Fair
I'd
enough.
Rather have it under salty.
Well, and the salt also affects the yeast, right? Because if you add too much salt, you're going to kill your yeast. Mm-hmm. So it's delicate balancing act for sure.
Hmm. I learned something right now. I did not know that.
Yeah, either did.
What's the percentage on this?
5.2.
Really? No, higher than I would expect.
It is good, though. I mean,
yeah,
I kind of just want to keep
hot.
Going back for a sip after having. I don't know if that's the saltiness at the end there, but...
Yeah, I think on a smoking hot Texas humid day, this would go down pretty damn nice.
Yeah, on the days when I was down there when we were hitting, you know, 38, 39 Celsius.
God.
Would have been a nice one to have.
When
for
were you
sure.
there? July or something?
August.
August. Oof.
Yeah.
The wrong time of the year to be in Texas.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've taken our time getting to these beers too. So,
a few months.
Logistics. So some of them might not be as fresh as they could be, but Yeah.
Whatever. If it was coming over the border any other way, you know it'd take just as long just to get over the border. Yeah.
It would just be hitting stores.
Correct. Yeah, that's like true, yeah. Great notion. Yeah. You get 4 months later.
Yeah, it would have been in a storage container at the border for 3 months.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So,
and not probably temperature controlled.
No. Exactly
that's
right.
The so, this has yeah. been in a fridge.
Cam, you probably brought it faster for us, homie.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely heard of this brewery from Three Beers In podcast out of Austin. So.
Okay.
And you know what? I think as a beer garita, this would work really well.
Ooh.
Probably, yeah.
A little slushy, yeah.
Yeah, a little tequila, a little lime.
It's already got kind of that limey thing going on, so.
Yeah.
You really wouldn't need to add any. Maybe just a wedge.
Salt rim.
Salt rim. And
Salt rim and just get a little slushy.
Yeah.
Put it in the freezer a little too long.
Interesting artwork on the label here. It looks like the figure of a woman in salt, like almost like the pillars of salt.
Mm, Medusa.
Like something like that. It's kind of interesting.
I have to say, you probably wouldn't see this can currently on our shelves.
With that booty popping out like that?
Yeah, not a lot of the...
of a female form.
Yeah.
Very... evocative butt on it, yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen some of the old Milwaukee cans we get here?
Yeah, but that's not craft beer. Yeah, things have changed in our industry since, like, Lighthouse used to have Siren and everything.
True enough, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think this can would do well on the shelves here. Tasty beer, though.
You know what's weird? Like, speaking of cans changing, like, Fuggles used to have all those, like, little fairies and stuff, and they've recently just changed all theirs. I wonder if that was something to do with it.
No, that was just a new artist. Artist that used to do all the cans was Dan Fuggles and his ex-wife.
Oh, no longer
so when
there.
Dan's no longer there, and obviously ex-wife, artwork had to change, I think.
Yeah.
Either they had to, all their new beers would be completely different, or just change everything, right?
Yeah, kind of rebrand.
Steelworks is changing theirs. They're taking that angel out of their stuff and replacing it with a cherub. Because the angel is a usage of the statue outside of the train station there holding the fallen soldier.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Memorial. Yeah, yeah.
So a bunch of people have complained that it's disrespectful and stuff. So they're taking it out of their marketing.
Huh. That's interesting. I just bought some Steamworks Imperial Stouts there, and then the cans have changed.
Yeah,
they're different.
Yeah, they're going to be changing the
Black Angel
on their truck and everything.
Yeah, the Black Angel IPA.
Yeah, the Black and the White Angel.
Yeah,
they'll both be changing.
Interesting.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, let's get back to Texas.
Yeah,
segue next beer, Cam.
Yeah, I mean it's a goza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I enjoy it for what it is. Yeah. It's just so often nowadays when you buy a goza, it's fruited with this, or it's done some way. This is just straight up base.
Yeah, it's a great base beer. It's not a kettle sour with some salt thrown in it, right? Like,
if you let that sit in a barrel, too, I think it'd be pretty good. Like tequila or something like that.
A tequila barrel? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you can get a tequila barrel that doesn't leak like mad,
Yeah. So next up, we've got the Austin Amber from Independence Brewing.
I like the label on this one.
Austin, Texas.
This one looks like it comes from America.
Oh, yeah. You got the Screaming Eagle over
there. Yeah. Not just America, but South America.
Actually, that's probably like a grackle or something.
So, question for you, Cam.
Classy cans, though, with a black background.
Mm-hmm.
Do all the American beers come like short like this instead of the like the
347s or whatever? Cans, right?
Right?
Yeah,
it's not a tall can.
I did not see many tall cans at all.
That's crazy.
I picked these up at a bottle shop in suburb of San Antonio. It's kind of halfway between San Antonio and Austin, called New Braunfels. And the shop was called Leaf and Barrel. It's a cigar and bottle shop.
Of course it is, yeah.
And I went in and talked to the guy a little bit because I was looking at the shelves and they had some Unibrew.
Really?
And,
not surprised. They had that in Arizona, too.
Yeah, there was a Unibrew. There was a...
Red Betty?
No Red Betty, but there was one from Vancouver. I'm trying to remember which one it was. I think it was a Steamworks.
Or P49.
It wasn't P49. Okay,
because I remember seeing P49 in Arizona once.
Yeah, so. I think really? It was a Steamworks.
Salty Scott.
Bizarre.
Yeah, like, and so I started talking to the guy a little bit, and he was like, where are you from? I was like, oh, I'm from Vancouver, just because I always just say Vancouver whenever I'm traveling, because it's just easier than explaining.
They think you mean Vancouver, Washington, which is close enough.
Well, no, because I said I was from Canada.
He said Vancouver.
Oh, okay. And he goes, my wife and I were just talking about going up to Vancouver, actually, just for like a holiday. And I was like, well, you're going to have to wait.
Borders closed.
But when you do, I mean, you're running a cigar shop. Weed's legal up there, too. And he goes, that's why we're looking.
Also Cuban cigars.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, the real ones.
But yeah, I was asking him about some of the local beers and stuff, and he steered me towards the Austin Amber here.
Yeah, the Independence.
He's like, the Independence is like, that's what I drink every day, basically. So he's like, this Austin Amber.
This is
like,
nice. This is really good. It's got a nice fruity kind of malty thing going on.
Yeah, the color's
without
dead
being
on
sweet.
For an amber,
yeah, it's amber.
And it's got a nice balance with the hops. Like it's still fairly balanced. It's really tasty. I like this a lot.
I like it too.
Aroma is mild.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit going on.
A little bit
of grainy, a little bit of hops, but not much.
Yep. Yeah,
pretty subdued. The flavor's nice though. Almost like a hint of roasty and nutty in there as well.
Yeah.
There's a little bit,
This would go really nice with some cheese or something.
I wish ambers more often tasted a little more like this, because ambers are so often really, really boring, which is great for someone who likes a really crisp, clean lager or something. But that's not me, so I'd like some more flavor in an amber, and this has got lots.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's working.
This might be one of the nicest ambers I've ever tried.
So I just like the side of this can, too. Independent thinkers and drinkers. Independence. Mm. If that ain't America, I don't know what is.
America,
fuck you. It's also 6%,
yeah.
Which you would never guess by tasting it. It's like a regular old 5%er.
No, this is like the perfect balance of... Like you said, you've got the roasty, you got a little bit nutty, you've got a
fruity
touch of hops to it, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super well balanced.
Yeah.
It's not overly sweet like some ambers you get.
Correct.
Like the bitter hop cuts through that sweetness of the malts, and it's really
super
nice.
Super well done for an amber.
Yeah, it's working well.
Amazing.
And you said these are like 4 months old, too, so it's holding up well.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Nice.
Holding up very nicely.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the hazy, but...
still a little flippy.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll flip them over for now so they're ready to go.
I find it funny, too, with these smaller cans. Like, everything in BC and stuff, normally they put, like, a little story or blurb or something on, and these just have, like, the government warning.
There's not as much room
on
a 12-ounce label for write-ups.
Yeah, like, the government warning is so small, I can't even read it.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty tiny.
Says something about general surgeon women shouldn't drink. Oh yeah, don't drink while pregnant. Thanks. Yeah.
Thing
government.
Is, that's on every can of alcohol, I think, in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't need to read it because you already know what it says.
Yeah.
Don't be mad.
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting stuff down there that I saw. I went to one place. It was called Hops, and it was like a tap room.
Yeah.
Yep.
And tried a lot of different beers there. Like they had, I tried Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
Which
is fantastic.
Oh, no, called the Stone Cold Stunner?
No, it's the Broken Skull, man.
Broken Skull.
That's what you get after you drink
after
a couple.
Smash it on your head.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a fantastic IPA. Like,
really?
Nice.
6.5-7%.
Really?
It's like super crushable.
Oh, damn.
And then they had a couple different hazies I got to try. And, good mix of imperials and dark stuff, light stuff. Great staff there too.
Nice.
And I guess it's a chain, so you can franchise them if you want.
Oh, interesting. So we're starting one in Chilliwack.
Hops coming soon.
Nice.
It'd be better than Canadian Brew House or whatever it's called.
Yeah. And then every goddamn brewery you go into, there's the biggest American flag you've ever seen.
I've seen some pretty big ones.
Well, wouldn't they have the Texas flag above that even though?
Oh, there were a few, yeah. Or the one with the cannon and come and take it.
Don't Tread on Me. Probably saw a few of those.
Didn't see any of those in the breweries.
But, you also avoided breweries.
I also
had stuff like
walked
that.
Out of certain breweries when I. Yeah,
you walk in and you see the big portrait of the Cheeto there.
The mega,
yeah.
Mega 2020.
Donnie.
Yeah, there was a lot of
moved on yet?
Those the blue Lives Matter flags floating around.
Yeah, there
were
some of those too.
Yikes!
I went to one place. I can't remember. It was something River.
Don't even mention the name if it.
No, it was an awesome one.
Okay, mention it.
Because it was run by veterans.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a big, like, every table had a bench on one side, and the other side was empty. And I was like, oh, well, why is that? And he's like,
wheelchairs.
Exactly. Because they're run by veterans. A lot of combat veterans, they have friends, and one of the owners are amputees from accidents and, or, you know, IED explosions, training, anything like that. And they're all combat veterans. So. Wow. And then they would do tours where it was like a classroom setup too. So the guys at the front telling them it was also a distillery. So we went in. I got a whiskey flight and a beer flight.
Oh, sick.
Bourbon flights. Hello.
Yeah.
That's how you can tell the
that's pretty cool,
Southern
though.
States.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't even outrageously expensive for the whiskey flight either. I think it was
bourbon's not that
15,
right?
20 bucks for the flight.
Well, the American prices too, with towards alcohol, they're not taxed as much.
True,
and all this shit. So that makes sense. But fuck, I'd love to have a whiskey flight for
nice.
$15.
Yeah, well, it's the whiskey
sometime.
And the
Shabin?
And the beer. Like, you got both. I don't think it was $20.
Damn.
Wow.
Well, that's a good deal.
That sounds decent.
Yeah. And they had a great outdoor seating area too, or you could sit in the brewery.
Yeah, so outdoor seating area.
Yeah, well, outdoor seating area seemed like a good idea, and then you get out in the Texas sun.
40 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Balls off. I'll take 40 degrees and sweating over. Yeah, indoors Texas right now.
Yeah. Well, there was nobody sitting in the brewery, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go back there. And there's like one guy sorting all their grain and stuff. So it's just like, oh, how big's the brew house? And he turns around. He's like, oh, there's somebody in here.
Holy crap.
And then he starts talking, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, we've got, you know, a 20-barrel system. It's just, it's all short stuff, right? They didn't have high ceilings at all, but it was sprawling. And then he's like walking me through the distillery and stuff, and I'm just like walking with him with my little flight board of whiskeys. And he's like, where are you from? It's like, oh, I'm from Canada. He's like, oh, you gotta try the rye barrel then. I was like, there's a rye barrel?
Hello.
Sweet.
He's like, yeah, it's not on the board, but I'll get you some, don't worry.
Top secret, Canadians only.
Hey, man, that Southern hospitality is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah.
That's swearing at him. Don't be that way.
So tell me a little bit about the food programs of these places. Really, like,
I bet you nobody
sick?
Had barbecue.
I was going to say, like, it's some sick barbecue down in Texas.
So Weathered Souls had a barbecue in the brewery. So they had a full
smoker.
Food program, full-on pit master in the back and
Hello.
Everything.
Love that.
Brisket, of course, because it's Texas.
My favorite.
And, it was funny because it was such a mix. Everybody had, like, a food program, but some were, you know, the bare bones. Oh, yeah, we got sandwiches, and it's like gas station sandwiches.
It's probably similar to our rules where it's like if you want to have a full lounge, you have to have food or something, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like it was interesting to see because I think they're a little bit behind where we are as far as, like, the brewery culture in a way.
Yeah.
You could see the guys that had obviously gone out and done their research and been like, oh, like, this is the way they're doing it in Portland, or this is the way they're doing it in California, and had set up in that way. And then there was the guys that were like, oh, we're just going to open a brewery. And
Yeah.
I mean, you get that here too, to some degree.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the ones that actually did do the research and put the thought into it, they were doing very well.
Hmm.
Weathered Souls being one of them. I did some great beers. Didn't have the best service when I was there, but I was there an hour before it closed. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
but, happens. There was a handful of breweries I went to, had a few beers, and I was like, oh, this is 4 or 5 years ago in Vancouver. Trying to get their legs or starting to experiment, but really don't do anything outside of their core lager, pale ale, Texas IPA, which is the big style down there, which is just a hoppy golden ale, really.
They need to jump on the cold IPA train.
I'm actually a big fan of the cold IPA.
Yeah, no, I've had some good ones, and that seems to be gaining traction. It's not just
hopefully
going away.
It sticks around longer than the brute.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think we've had that style for a while now. It was just called IPL or something, right?
So yeah.
It's just being called something different.
Yeah, IPL. I always laughed at that one. You do pale lager.
Okay. It's just an overhopped lager, which is a lot of cold IPA.
Which makes them tasty.
Yeah.
Same diff.
I got one in the fridge from Barn Owl.
Oh, good.
For us to try.
Excellent. Nice.
Well, right. Tell us what's next, Cam?
Yeah, so next up we got another Independence. We got their Hazy IPA.
I like the label on this one.
The Pure Stoke.
I do too.
It's got the eyeball Hazy with IPA. The wings.
Pure Stoke.
Eyeball with the bat wings.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I'm purely stoked Halloween. For this. Well, it's
old
an interesting color.
Culture.
I was not expecting it.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
pretty
see.
Darker, orangier than I expected.
A bit of an amber color there.
Yeah, it's...
It's definitely got the haze. It's not, super cloudy, you said.
No,
but
no.
It's definitely hazy.
It's
yeah, it looks good.
Heck of a head on it.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. Oh, smells like a hazy. Lots of...
Yeah,
the
nose is great.
Stone fruit. Yeah. That stone fruit, that tropical.
Yeah, there's some pineapple on top of that stone fruit.
Mm. Yes.
Damn.
And yeah, that head is just...
It's crazy, eh?
Great. That's probably the best head we've seen today.
Yeah, definitely. Thick, rocky head.
Nothing like some good head.
And sticking around, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of fruit juicy.
Kind of.
The nose is not what I expect, though. I was expecting more citrus to punch it.
But no, it's definitely
subdued.
Sort of peach and pineapple juice, a little bit of graininess.
Definitely
graininess,
juicy.
I'm getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of probably just a kind of hot matter in there.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably not as fresh as it should be.
No.
I actually don't mind
considered,
it.
But that considered, I think we're probably... A little jaded here, having
of riches.
Having our back country here, yes. And our twin sails and our boom box and our super fluxes and everything all the time.
Yeah,
this is a little bit disappointing, right?
Yeah, it's good, but it's not great.
But it's not
we're used to having Northeast IPAs that are over the top.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know if disappointing is the word I would use. I'd say kind of a
lackluster kind of for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not what we're used to.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually don't mind it at all, though. I would drink this if it came in a six pack. You know what I mean?
It's just not over the top a lot of the ones we've.
Well, and I've had worse hazy IPAs out here too.
So. I was just gonna say that. Oh yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Couple. It's almost reminiscent of a Steamworks flagship, but just dialed back to me, anyways.
I also love too. This is 4 months old. You said, and it's still really. Hazy. It's not like it's fallen clear, which a lot of beers done kind of poorly do.
Yeah. But it does hide the alcohol well. It
is 7%.
Oh, yeah, 7%. Yeah. No, you would never guess. 5% it tastes like.
It's juice.
It does, yeah.
It's basically juice.
And they've got a canning code on the bottom of the can, which isn't even in letters and stuff. It's not. It's easy to decode.
Oh, yeah. 072821.
Yeah. So,
geez.
So July 28th.
Was when it was canned.
So,
and it's only July 29th today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting a ton of oxidation or anything on it.
No.
I like the can. I do like this can, though. This flying eyeball.
Yeah, that's cool, eh?
Yeah.
Pure Stoke. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, you're used to seeing that. I've seen it.
It's that Independence Brewing. I feel like everything's just like Team Police or World Police.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you read one of their cans, you got to read it like that. Fuck yeah.
That flying eyeball. The flying eyeball is like straight out of like the Neversoft logo from Tony Hawk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so true. It is, man. That's crazy. Tony Hawk, if you hear this, don't cease and desist.
Yeah. Come on the show.
Yeah. We got a half pipe.
Not that type, though.
Yeah, I had some of my broken pipe in the backyard. It's just half a pipe left.
But yeah, I mean, compared to the beers I had while I was there, I'd say these are pretty good standouts.
Yeah.
As far as like, because I went into a few breweries where it was like, it's okay. Like,
yeah.
You know, like.
We've got breweries like that here too.
Yeah, of course. One thing I'll say is the Texas-sized flight I got at
Texas-sized flight.
Broken Sandal Brewing. You got 9 beers on your flight.
Oh, is that all? going to 10 Barrel.
I was going to say, that ain't very Texas-y.
I went to 10 Barrel in Portland in their tasting room, and I had a taster flight of 10.
Yeah,
dude, go to Dead Frog and you can get every beer on tap. Things like this no, literally the big of the table. You need like 3 people to order it though, or something like that.
You can have it all in one, but yeah, it has to have a certain amount of people there.
Yeah, even if you're not all drinking it, because we did that with my wife's birthday 1 year. We got one, and it's like the girls get it, and they don't like any of these flavors. So they're like, I don't like this one, Jordan. I don't like this one. And I'm like, cool, I'll drink them, right?
Yeah.
And then my homie goes and gets another one. Oh. I hear the bell ringing again, and they're bringing another one. It's like, dude, nobody's drinking these but me. Like, fuck off. Like, I just want a pint of something.
Hope you weren't driving.
Yeah.
No. Luckily, we had a safe ride.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I'm liking this. I'm just looking at Independence Brewing's website, and all of the cans, except for their native Texan Pilsner, all have kind of the same oval shape within the name of the beer, and then above it some kind of logo.
Yeah.
Which it's...
Oh, you can pick them out on
so they're very
shelf.
They're very cohesive. Yeah, tell that they're part from the same. Yeah,
and their little logo seems to be located on a little stitch above the thing. It kind of it reminds me of like a bomber. Like, you know how you take the paper and stick it on and then have like a little thing? It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, it does, for sure. It's a nice look. And they actually have at least one tall can. Their High Boy Double IPA is definitely a 16-ounce pint can.
That's a weird one to put in a tall can.
No, it's not.
IPA. No, I disagree. It's a great idea.
Oh, and they have
the more the merrier.
A Space Case Double IPA High Boy as well. So.
All right. We're going to Texas, boys.
Yeah, in a couple of years, maybe.
Oh, yeah, pretty much anywhere I went was like, oh, yeah, we got 6-packs.
That's cool. So much different than our scene.
I haven't seen a 6-pack of 12-ounce cans in a while.
Well, you get like 33 Acres or Steamworks or something like that. But those are normally 8-packs, right? Like the small cans you get.
Silver Valley.
Well, I know Ravens is coming out with a 6-pack Session IPA soon.
Really?
I don't know if they're going to call it a Session IPA, but it is a 4.5% IPA.
Nice.
And it's damn tasty.
Where's that from?
Ravens.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like,
put it in 4 tall cans, and I might buy it more often.
Well, they're putting it in 6-packs because you can 3.5. Just crush them, right?
I was just talking to somebody over the last week. They told me Ravens is distilling now. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have been for a while.
They've been distilling for at least a year and a half now.
Because they just dropped some gin like a year ago.
They've got a vodka, a gin, and they're working on a rum.
Yeah. Ooh, rum.
It's I got to try that. I haven't been there in a while.
Well, they're moving soon, so...
Good.
I might have to reach out. We should do a little podcast with them. Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Well, yeah. Shall we move to the fanciest label of the night?
Yeah,
the one that's peeling.
Well, before we open this, tell us a little bit about it.
Also, are all of their packaged products labeled this way? Tell the people what it looks like.
So it's
looking at a 12-ounce glass bottle.
It's a 12-ounce glass bottle. It looks literally like you would label a homebrew.
Yes, a piece of white paper.
It's a white like sticker.
It's that what you get from Staples.
Yeah,
a label printer. Maker.
Yeah, a label Avery. Maker one. Yeah,
it's yeah, Avery, it's label, Avery printable right? labels. Yeah.
probably for meant to be for envelopes, addressing envelopes.
Yeah,
right? Or putting on your what do you call those little binders at school where you got to put math and yeah. science right. on yeah, your duotangs? Yeah, like my kid does for school.
I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Duotang.
Yeah.
But this is from Guadalupe Brewing.
Guadalupe Brewing.
It might just be Guadalupe. I don't know, but
really,
I'm saying Guadalupe in are Guadalupe they... County.
Oh. So they're in Texas.
They're just close outside the of New Braunfels, Texas, near Buc-ee's. So, cool. 12 minutes away, go to the world's largest gas station. And
I'm interested. What do you do with this Buc-ee's?
Dude, is there go lots on YouTube and look up Buc-ee's, and there's people that do like 24-hour overnight challenges there, and they eat all their meals there and everything. It's insane. All
right. As that's I hilarious. Had it described to me, it's an experience.
Yeah.
I like that.
They've got like 150 gas pumps or something stupid.
Like,
it's
no.
like the size of a Walmart superstore.
600 gas pumps.
600 gas pumps. Oh, and sorry.
The fuck?
And 1,000 parking stupid. Spaces. I have pictures. I'll show
dude,
you.
Dude, it's massive.
The fuck?
It's like
so it's
a
the
truck
Walmart,
heaven.
Walmart
it's a Walmart
gas
station.
Station.
Yeah.
And they've Jesus. Got food. They've got there's hot a full food ready court to go. Inside. They got barbecue. You can get like your sliced brisket sandwich, all that. So,
they have a beef jerky bar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
You can buy what? Clothes there.
Yeah. Mind blown on Jordan here.
Dude, a beef jerky bar?
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
Dude.
That's heaven. It's like
insane.
Better than DeRoche.
Look it up on YouTube. I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to now. You piqued my interest, guys.
It's pretty wild.
But yeah, this Guadalupe Brewing. I put it into the GPS. I was going with a coworker of mine that we were both down there. And he's not much of a beer guy. Mm. So
just,
we're
he's
driving
just along because he's bored.
Yeah. And we're in like a pretty rural area. And he's like, where the fucking Texas Chainsaw are you taking me right now? We pull up and it's very, it's kind of like a Persephone style brewery. It's on
okay.
a farm. You park out front and then they've got
in the gravel.
Yeah.
8 guns per person.
And then they have a, what they called the front barn
yeah.
or the front bar, which had like all their lagers and sessionable stuff. And it was kind of like it was supposed to be like a beer house
yeah.
style. And then the back area, which is where their lounge and stuff was. And then to get there, you have to walk through like a grassy courtyard.
Okay.
Almost like a garden.
Yeah.
And they got tables in the garden and everything. And they had a big tent overhead. They had a stage off to one side. Band was playing, live music.
Oh, nice.
Across the way. So it's kind of in a triangle shape. So you've got your front bar, then the back bar, which is where the brewery was too. And then on the other side was a winery that
oh.
they are side by side with. It's owned by somebody else, but they share a courtyard.
Common space.
And then you can order food or drinks from both and drink in the middle.
Yep.
Nice.
And so the guy I was with was more of a wine guy. So
perfect.
He goes over there.
Get a flight
orders,
of wine?
He got 2-3 samplers of wine. Charcuterie board brings it back to the table. I got a flight, came back. I just went to the server at the bar and was just like, yeah, just give me like one of each style that you like are your most popular or whatever. And so
four
she immediately clocked my shirt because I was wearing my Flogging Molly shirt. And she goes, I love Flogging Molly.
It was just perfect.
Like,
you
nice.
Got a friend.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, so I'm not from around here. Never been here before. Just give me like one of each style that you think is good. I was like, how many can you have on a flight? She goes, oh, we'll do 5 if you want. You do 4 and then 1 in the middle
because
it's in a square.
Yeah.
I was like, perfect. Just give me like one of every style that you think will fit. They did a fantastic Scotch ale.
Really?
Nice.
Really, really nice
Scotch ale.
Not what I would
expect in Texas.
And then I was looking at their board and I see Imperial Stout, Pastry Stout. barley wine. And I'm looking at them and I'm going...
In August.
And none of them were under 13%.
Holy shit. Holy.
And I was just like, I'm not driving.
Yeah.
I know what my second... I know what my second flight is going to be.
I know where Mike's going to vacation next.
Yeah, no doubt.
In that brewery.
I'll just die there.
I had the first flight. Lager was on point. Super clean. Nice. Like,
excellent.
Bright. Refreshing. Every, like, ticked every box a lager should. No off notes. And so I was
that
just
tells
like,
you what you need to know about the brewers.
Exactly. After that, I was just like, okay, I can trust everything here.
Yeah.
Hazy IPA on point. Fantastic. Crushable. Just juice. That Scotch ale, like I said, was super good.
And then you brought this back.
Yeah. And then I went and got this Imperial Stout and barley wine flight from them. And I was like, oh, the barley wine. I was like, that looks really nice. And she goes, oh, we just put that on. We had a keg in the back that got mislabeled and jammed into a corner. That's a 4.5-year-old barley wine.
Damn.
That's nuts.
And I was just like, well, I'm definitely getting that then.
Yeah.
And I'm getting all these Imperial Stouts and barley wines and stuff on this flight, and I'm expecting it to be like a $30 flight, right? Oh, that'll be $8.99.
Regular price of a flight?
Regular price of a flight.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And I was just like...
Wow.
Why is nobody else doing this?
I'll take three of those.
Yeah, I'll just take that keg in flight form.
So then I asked them after if they did any package product for those. And this was the only one that they had in package.
Hand-packaged.
Yeah.
Very hand-packaged. Looks like homebrew.
It says it on the label, too. Hand-packaged. 06. I can't read it because the label's burnt, but it was in 2021. Too bad it was in 2020.
So June something, I assume. But
Oof, look at this.
Yeah, just
dark,
black as night.
Yeah, it's dark as night. Yeah.
It's
super black.
Motor oil.
Well, you don't even see the ruby overtones on the edges. Like black.
It's motor oil to me.
Like, yeah, and
but that nose.
So
oh,
rich.
Jesus.
Yeah, what were we at?
It smells like dried fruit.
14.8%.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, what is it called? The BBA?
Bourbon barrel aged.
Vermis. How do you even say that?
Vermendi
Stout.
Damn. And it smells like a bourbon barrel aged beer. It smells so good. Like,
oh, yeah. Just
sweet
oak.
And oak.
Yeah. Oh, sweet oak, chocolate. Oh, everything.
Molasses. Fruit.
Yeah, I get molasses
super
too.
Super rich.
Yeah, and I think it was for these two bottles. $14.
And how big are these bottles, though? These
bottle.
Are 12. Okay, that's what I thought. They
should have asked her just
teeny,
to put
tiny.
Three tasters in each bottle.
Yeah, and I just bought a bomber for like $19.
Wow.
Yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah,
that tastes like barley wine.
Yeah, it's rich and delicious.
It's so
smooth. Chocolatey.
And it's somewhere in between
very smooth.
An English style and an American style.
For
right?
Just like under 15%, no alcohol burn. None of that shit.
Yeah.
Super smooth, like Cam just said.
For a stout, he's not wrong. It does taste kind of like a barley wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a roastier,
a little
sweeter on the treacle side, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, that's good.
Yeah.
It's not as roasty as I was expecting from the color.
No, this is definitely on that, like,
you're getting some
sugar bomb, which
thing,
I love in a
that
stout.
Soy sauce kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, their pastry stouts were, they were probably the first pastry stouts that I've had where I've been like, okay, this is not as sickly sweet as some.
A little more palatable.
But it was just because it was so much higher alcohol that burn kind of held back the sweetness. But even then, I don't think it's my style. They're just too sweet.
Yeah,
I can drink 22 ounces of this.
I felt like I was getting diabetes drinking those.
Right?
But
yeah,
this...
Yeah.
This, though, like, it does have a sweetness to it, but it's not overly sweet.
Mm-hmm. And it's not super thick, like syrup or whatever. It's actually kind of closer to a medium mouthfeel than I would expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not
such
as
a high percentage.
We had that. It's been a long time, but we had that Anchorage Imperial Stout, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it had, like, a thickness of motor oil.
Right.
And this is definitely not that.
Yeah.
No, this, and the other thing I like about this is you can get those barrel characteristics. You get a little bit of that vanilla and oak. And
a little bit. That's the key. It's subtle. It's adding to it. It's not distracting.
Yeah, I imagine they would have blended this with, because I think this is their like house imperial that they usually do. And then they had a ton of different barrels in the back. And they actually had wood fermenters in the back, too.
Nice.
So. Some feeders.
Yeah.
Some feeders, yeah.
Nice.
Well, I have to say that I am very impressed with this beer. It's by far the worst label. And yeah, this beer is awesome.
Well, I actually like the little label. Like, actually, their like little logo is pretty cool. Because if you really squint and look at it in this, like, 1 centimeter picture it is.
Yeah.
There's like a little cowboy dude with a paddle, but he's on a barrel with a like a bourbon barrel or something. It looks like he's paddling down the river.
Yeah.
So it just shows they probably have a huge barrel program, right?
Yeah. Well, and the thing I learned in Texas is the cheaper the marketing and the labeling and everything looks, whether it be tacos or barbecue or beer, the better it's going to be.
Ooh, so. Shitty.
Less effort into marketing and all the efforts being put into the production of the product.
Absolutely.
No, yeah. I want tacos.
Well, it's funny down there, too, because you'll be driving down the road in the middle of nowhere, and you'll drive by a guy on the side of the road with a smoker.
Yeah.
And you can
It'll be the best barbecue you've ever had.
You can stop and get some ribs to go or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of that place out in Langley, but it's close to locality. Yeah, it's just this, this truck on the side of the fucking road.
Oh, yeah?
By the way.
So fucking good.
I've driven by it a couple times.
Oh, it's something Texas smoked meat it's kind
Texas
of thing.
Texas barbecue.
Yeah. It is, and it's really? Like I got this sampler platter, and it was a coleslaw, and then I got the pulled pork, the brisket, sausage Jesus links, Christ. And I think something else. And then you can get beans, cornbread as sides, and oh man, it was pretty pricey, $30 for the sampler. Yeah, I mean, but you're full. Like, it's a lot of meat. I, like, literally came home and was, like, still trying to eat it, like, so after.
What you're saying is go there, eat a ton, and then go to locality.
Yeah.
Or just, get a good base, you get it to, we got it to go and actually brought it to locality.
Oh, there we go,
so we sat down and we ran into Ivan the Iceman, their freaking, what do you call it, promotions guy, to do all their photos. And he had sat down and had a beer with us.
Nice.
We just hung out and threw my magnet at the top of the silo. So it stuck. Well, if you're there, find my magnet.
You have to do that too now.
Oh yeah, it was fun. It was there's four grown men throwing a magnet up in the air and like just trying to get it to stick to the highest point. Fucking, it finally got up there.
So, yeah. Annie, I got a question for you.
Yep, fire away.
Any of these breweries or tasting rooms or lounges or whatever in Texas that you visited, were any of them in like an historical building that had any kind of history or story behind it?
Like the Alamo?
For instance.
I didn't go to the Alamo while I was there.
Did you pee on it?
It's a lot smaller than you expect it to be, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it would be small. Like, just the movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear it's like, oh, yeah, it's a fort. And then you go, and you're like, well, that it's a cowboy fort.
I've built like, bigger forts in my house. You know,
the barn on my dad's farm is bigger. but yeah, it's like cool for the history of it. But
no doubt.
As far as like breweries and historic buildings and stuff, I didn't really see too much. There's a lot of the ones I found were in like weird little strip malls where you wouldn't really expect, like out here, you expect them in like,
well, that's all Maple Ridge
industrial areas where they'd be in like auto garages and places with higher ceilings and stuff. And this was like, there was one I went to that was right beside a nail salon and a hairdresser.
Really?
You're literally describing Silver Valley, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Or Maple Meadows or down Maple the street. Meadows. Yeah, like, they're all like that. You go to Ridge Brewing, there's an auto glass thing next to it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, very
good. I won't be going to Ridge anytime soon, but yeah.
We know.
Yeah. But yeah, it was... yeah, there were a few that were in those industrial areas that you would expect, at least compared to up here.
Yeah.
But because everything is so fucking spread out there, it's just like, oh yeah, this one says it's 15 minutes away. And you get hop in the truck and you find out you're driving like 10 miles on the interstate because everything in San Antonio where we were is just on a big spoke. Okay. It's a big circular highway that goes around the city, and it's, you know, the spoke and wheel grid.
Like a Roman thing.
Yeah.
Like a Texas thing. That's Texas well, as fuck.
If you look at every city in Texas, it's a big circle.
Really?
And there's a highway. It's very similar to Edmonton and Calgary. I was going to say
Calgary was on my tip of my tongue right there.
Anywhere Texas that's North. Built in a prairie or somewhere flat, somewhere that's flat, generally the way they'll do it. They didn't
actually do any planning.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to one guy, and he was like, yeah, they were supposed to run a highway through this one area to complete the wheel, and then somebody bought all the land and put a subdivision on it. So,
well, yeehaw!
Yeah.
Hey, money talks.
The one thing, one thing that I've noticed when I'm in the States, any states really, but visiting brew pubs or smaller breweries, there's some really interesting use of space down there.
Yeah.
Like people can have a brewery in their garage.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. It's a lot different. And sometimes it makes for some really interesting spots.
Well, there was some where it's like, oh, yeah, we got a patio. And then you go out back and there's like a couple chairs in the parking lot. And you got to move your chair every once in a while because there's a car that wants to get by. Or there's a truck doing a delivery to the place next door.
That sounds like my kind of place, to be honest with you. Just a fucking shit show. So how I just want to ask you, since you were asking about the breweries down there, what was this one like, Guadalupe?
That was the one. That was similar to Persephone, like the farm.
Okay.
Yeah. Outdoors, like it was a great experience, and they do have a full food program there. The day I was there, they're like, oh yeah, the chef's out sick.
Oh.
COVID. Texas. Probably.
But,
what's that really popular farmhouse brewery in Texas again?
Jester King?
Yeah, Jester King. Did you make it there?
I did not. I looked it up. It was an hour and a half drive.
Too far.
A rental car, and I was like, I could do it. But then I'm looking at COVID cases, and I'm looking at... Like, I looked at their website to see if they had any COVID precautions in place or anything, and it was just like, no, we're wide open.
It's over. Like,
They've had some other issues, too, I think, in the past, more recently.
Texas don't give a fuck, especially when it came to COVID. They're like Florida.
They weren't as bad as Florida.
Nothing's bad as Florida. That's basically the penis Florida of never America. Shut
down ever.
But there was, like... I talked to several people who were like, oh, yeah, I know, like, two or three people that have died of COVID.
Wow.
And I'm just like, that's not... It doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah. Did you just yell yeehaw in their faces?
I only know a couple of people that have even gone into hospital, let alone. I don't know anyone that's died from COVID yet. I know lots of people.
I know there's a lot of 80-year-olds that have passed
from COVID.
But I personally don't, or it's a complication. But anyways, fuck COVID. A
couple degrees of separation. Yeah. There's nobody.
Yeah. It's not my direct family or friends. Yeah,
I don't personally know three people who have passed.
Well, I'm just going to give some personal advice to anybody that's listening. Go get vaxxed, you fucks.
Exactly.
It ain't the worst thing.
Coming from somebody who dragged their heels.
Yeah, I was the last guy to fucking do it, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just I don't like being told what to do by the government, so I waited to the last damn minute.
I got a problem with authority, but I also have a problem with vaccination. Fucking restrictions.
Fuck authority.
Yeah, but
you're not a freedom fighter. You're a selfish asshole.
Yeah, we're not gonna sing the song though. We probably should.
Pennywise,
fucking great song.
Anyways,
I'm not a good singer though.
It's my turn, Jordan.
Oh!
Pick your favorite beer of the night.
Texas. Well, you know it's what the fuck Hazy. It is. It's Guadalupe. No, fuck that, man. This bourbon barrel aged stout is fabulous.
Oh, it's not surprising at all.
But we all kind of said pure stoke was like a little under lackluster or whatever, but I didn't mind it. Like, I'd finish a six pack of that. It wouldn't bug me. No, the hazy.
And fresh. It's probably fantastic.
I would assume that, and that's kind of. I was thinking, like, I've had Steamworks flagship IPA that's been on, like, my aunt will buy it from a store that's just been sitting on the shelf, and I can tell because it's unfiltered and you can taste it. this would be remnants to that, I feel like, if it was fresher. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because I've had an old Steamworks and it's kind of reminded me of that. So I wasn't mad at any of them, but yeah, no, bourbon barrel aged.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike? I wonder what Mike's
going to say.
So what's your second favorite thing?
Let's just take the broken record off because I'm taking the bourbon barrel age too. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that's fantastic. The best beer we had.
Fantastic. It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's have more of these on the show. Let's have more of these in life, period.
Tune in to next episode.
Yes, exactly. But I think for my second favorite of the bunch, I'm probably going to go with the Austin Amber, actually.
Mm, not a bad choice.
Ambers are something I almost always avoid. Yeah. And if I avoided that, I'd be mad because it's got a really nice little roastiness. It's really well done.
Yeah.
But
this BBA. Bourbon barrel aged stout barley wine thing, I mean, at 14.8 or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, 14.8.
It's ridiculously delicious and easy to drink. So good. But I got to go with the amber.
Ooh.
Again, amber is not my go-to style in any way whatsoever, but this one is so well made that I really enjoyed it, and I think I enjoyed it just maybe a tiny little bit more than the bourbon barrel aged.
You're allowed to be wrong.
Oh, Mike, you're on fire tonight.
As they would say in the South, well, bless your heart.
Right?
Or get the fuck off my property.
There's that too.
But yeah, the barrel aged stout for me, like,
it's pretty killer.
As soon as I tried any of their barrel aged stuff, I was like, okay, this is what I'm bringing back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't even a second thought. And they were easily the best brewery I went to, service wise,
really,
beer wise. Just fantastic overall. Great experience.
So Guadalupe.
I got to sit down with a flight of beer, eat some charcuterie, and listen to a live band.
Yeah.
Like,
that
doesn't sound terrible.
How do you beat that?
I was going to say, that's the best.
It was a nice overcast day, so it was only like 30.
Salted meats, nice temperature.
Yeah.
Fucking good beers. That sounds all around fun.
But I mean, it's if you're down in the San Antonio or even Austin area, Guadalupe Brewing. Definitely worth
it's
a visit.
Must hit.
Even if you're going out of your way a little bit, go to Bucky's.
Go out of your way.
Go to Guadalupe. Bucky's, fill up, and then go to fucking Guadalupe.
Get your beef jerky. Get your
beaver
nuts.
It's not out of the way if it's right near Bucky's.
Yeah. Dude, you can get beaver nuts down here. There's a fucking creek. You just got to catch the fucker.
Geez, that's a different kind of prairie oyster, I guess.
Well, awesome. Thanks for bringing these back, Cam.
Really awesome. I'm glad we finally got to it.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Damn.
Been a hot minute.
It has.
Yeah. Well, shall we just say cheers, boys, and end this fucker?
Yeah, let's end her. Cheers.
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 Bing.
Link.
All right, we out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.